Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking about transformation in Christ. Yesterday, I read you a wonderful letter from a woman whose whole marriage had been completely transformed as she came to the Lord in absolute desperation. She had a husband who was a drinker, and he was actually in prison when she wrote her letter to me. But she said, God has changed us both, and we have a new marriage. This whole idea of transformation, of course, is not an Elizabeth Elliot notion. I got it from the Scriptures. Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That should be a great encouragement to all of us. I am so glad to know that I am being transformed. I'm not there yet. I have certainly not reached transformation to the level of the image of Christ. But each day, one day at a time, day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour, God is in the process of transforming us. Here's a letter from a transformed prisoner. He says, this is the second time I'm in prison. I remember when I got out in 1988, I was God's man. He was blessing me and using me in the jails. The Lord blessed me with a wife and two little girls. They were not mine, but I loved them as if they were. Then my attitude began to change. I started making big mistakes, running from the Lord and my wife. And Psalm 107 is what happened to me. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight path to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. This is what happened to this prisoner, he says. I rebelled against the words of the Lord and condemned the counsel of the Most High. I found myself taking a gun and robbing a bank. I remember praying to God, is this what I come out of prison for? In the jail, I wanted to die. I had failed God, myself, my wife, and all those who saw God's hand upon my life. I'm thankful no one's life was taken. Like the children of Israel, I was given 40 years. I can never put myself in the same place as Job, for he was an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And yet, I can't help but believe that something happened that I am not aware of in the Spirit. By the grace of God, I am one of the ministers here in the prison that the Lord is using for his glory. I'm reading a book now by Charles Spurgeon, The Power of the Cross of Christ. Brokenness and a desire to live for Jesus is my heart's desire. I ask the Lord to give me scriptures that will show men who are born again how to trust him as a man in prison. This place pulls the life out of me sometimes. There's no hope in prison. They just want to lock us up and let that be that. And I love you with an everlasting love. Well, bless your heart, Arthur. Thank you so much for that testimony. I had a letter from a couple who have legal custody of two little girls because their mother is in prison. They wrote to me to say, last week, we visited the mother and found her beautifully different from the inside out. What a powerful cleanser is the blood of Jesus. Her children know Jesus as their Savior and are so happy now that their mommy does too. When our faith was small, God answered. Another letter from a prisoner. I've struggled along, unable to forgive myself, unable to see how, or better, why God would want me, or how He could use me for any useful purpose. I fell down on my knees right there in the canteen where I work, and I truly cried out to God to take these things that Satan uses to hinder my relationship with God. I laid them all at the foot of the cross where the precious blood of Jesus can take them away. It hurt so bad, and it cut so deep, but it felt so wonderful to let go and let God have them. I've been to prison twice before, and I tell you honestly, family, love doesn't change people. Money doesn't change people. Education doesn't change us, at least not in any godly way. Only Jesus, only God, being asked, comes into our hearts and lives with us and truly changes us. Praise God. My court case is on appeal, and I've given that to God. I'm trying to do as Paul said when he said he had learned to be content in whatever state he was in. And remember that Paul was in prison when he said that. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And this prisoner goes on to say, I don't want you to think I'm happy to be here. What I mean is, I know Jesus is here with me. I know each obstacle I face. Jesus is right with me, guiding and comforting me. And I need only to thank God each day for that day and look around me and see what He would have me do that day. I have no doubt that there is a despairing prisoner listening to me today. What a terrible waste of my life. What a terrible waste of my time, you're saying. Why did I ever do what I did? Here I am. What can I do? There's nothing I can do for God here. And it doesn't look as though there's much that God's doing for me. God's looking down into your cell. God looks down into your heart. He hears your words. He hears your cry. He knows your thoughts. And it just might be that there's some man or woman in prison today who will be greatly comforted by these testimonies from prisoners who know that God is with them every day. You can't go back to your old life. You can't erase the past. But remember that all your sins have been taken on the cross by Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you think you've committed the unpardonable sin? I would ask you, do you want to be pardoned? If you want to be pardoned, come to Jesus, because He has promised that if we repent, that His blood will cleanse us. God said we have become new creatures in Christ, this prisoner goes on with his letter, and we need Christian fellowship and guidance. I have my Bible, and praise God, I have Jesus. What I lack is true Christian fellowship outside of the prison. This will be over one day, and I'd love to serve God in some ministry. I think often of how God is leading me towards the mission field. I know if I keep standing and praying, God will show me His will for me. He goes on to say, I'd like to have Christian friends to share and grow with. I don't really know how to do this. God truly loves us with an everlasting love.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.